Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Masters Saturday. This is shaping up to be a perfect Masters Saturday already. When I woke up this morning and I saw the gray clouds, the rain pounding against the window, I said, oh, there's no excuse to be outside doing anything. I thought it was supposed to be nice today. Isn't it supposed to be nice today, Sarge?
It was supposed to be.
The weather supposed to? What? I have not looked at the weather. All I've looked at so far this morning is golf.
Yeah, I got, clouds and some rain up until about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
Okay, so I had plans to do things, you know, the things that we have to do.
Sure.
As men, as we should be doing, as grown men and women, we should be doing things, right? Not just lollygagging around all day waiting for Masters coverage to resume. I had things to do. I may not be able to do those things. Not the outdoor things. I may not be able to do those things. I may have to dedicate myself to nothing but watching golf today. Wouldn't that be a shame?
Did you see the weather in Augusta, though? Not good.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So we're going to get to that, too. And yesterday it was interrupted at maybe the worst possible time for Tiger Woods. In terms of weather, but we're going to get to all that as we begin this. Let's see. We started this in 13, so 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, the seventh season of the Sports Hub Golf Club, the show that nobody, they said it wouldn't work. You can't do it. Even a 1 hour show on a Saturday morning about golf. Seventh season. We begin this morning here. Sergeant on headlines, Tucker, take care of all the bells and whistles back there. And again, this is the type of thing that gets people who are not interested in golf interested in golf. When you have Tiger Woods one shot off the lead, I heard somebody, whoever was, you know, was on from the, you know, the national show before we started here this morning. I heard somebody say something to the effect of, well, for some reason, you know, Tiger Woods, people are still interested. And this was like in the midst of like a Michael Jordan, LeBron James conversation. That's who he is. I'll go you one better on Tiger Woods. If you don't understand, and most people don't even question it. If Tiger Woods is playing, Zoe is a perfect example of this. He says, unless Tiger's in it, I'm not interested. Okay? He is the prototypical poster child, like, fringe golf fan, right? Only interested if the best of the best are involved, and he's only interested if Tiger's involved. Okay? The reason why is not because he is arguably the best player to ever play the game. And I will go one further. If you are of a certain age, let's say you are under the age of 30, he is the best player, as far as you know, to ever play the game. Right? You didn't see Jack Nicklaus win the Masters in 86. There is no comparison. There is no conversation. There is no debate back and forth as to who generationally the best golfer of all time is for people who are even under the age of 40 who weren't even paying attention to Jack Nicklaus toward the end. It's Tiger Woods. That's not even the reason. The reason why is because you go back to when Tiger was Tiger. And we've had this conversation before, too, as to what does this mean Tiger is back? No, Tiger's never going to be back to the guy who lapped the field at the U.S. Open and won by 15 strokes at Pebble Beach. That's the likes of play. And again, never. In our lifetimes, we will never see that again. We're not going to see a golfer come along and completely dominate a sport to the point where other guys, like, watch him play. Watch him at his home course on the practice tee. Coming up to the practice range, as one player said years ago, after, you know, Tiger was out on an 8-mile run, and he sees one of his buddies on the range. He goes, "Oh, what are you hitting, 2 irons?" And he says, "There he is, dripping with sweat in his running shoes." And he takes a 2-iron out of my bag and starts hitting these 250-yard stingers with no glove, with sweat dripping off of him. And the kid, and the guy standing there says, "Well, this is why none of us can do anything. He is playing a sport, to quote Jack Nicklaus, he is playing a game with which we are unfamiliar." It's not even that. It's the fact that when he was in his prime, when he was that Tiger, he was the most famous person in the world. You go to Indochina. You go to the far reaches of the Antarctic. You go anywhere. You go into the deep South American rainforest. Hold up a picture of the President of the United States, the Pope, and Tiger Woods. Do you know who people would... Everybody knew Tiger. He was Michael Jackson. Beyond that, in terms of a recognizable worldwide global figure, he was it. Wasn't the most famous athlete. Wasn't just the best golf. He was the most recognizable person on the planet. So, yeah, people get excited when he is back and one stroke off the lead after 36 holes at Augusta. And this is not, and we can stop talking about that. I'm so happy that we can stop talking about this in terms of whether or not this means he's back, or whether this means he's doing anything for a flash in the pan, for kind of the dead cat bounce, you know, as somebody, you know, falls off the perch from greatness, hits, and then boom, you know, rebounding for one last hurrah. No, this is the guy who held sole possession of the lead back nine Sunday at the British Open last year. This is a guy who was in contention at the PGA Championship. And now this is a guy who, along with Dustin Johnson, Justin Harding, one stroke off the lead, and Xander Schauffele, a one stroke off the lead held by five players for the first time ever at Augusta. Five players hold a share of the lead after 36 holes. So we'll get to more on Tiger here in a moment, but let's look at the rest of the leaderboard here. And it is, this is again, something you would wish for as a golf fan, regardless of your feelings on Tiger. And I know there are guys here at the station. I know Maz, doesn't like Tiger and actively roots against him, but completely understands and accepts the tournaments are more interesting when he's involved. I'm okay with that. The one thing I do not understand, people who do not want to see him involved in any way, shape, or form. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, for Maz, he better, root for Tiger the first 3 days, then root against him on Sunday, just to get there.
Yeah, which that's
makes it more exciting.
That's it. It's like, even if you think of him as a villain, yeah, don't you want the villain to be defeated in the most dramatic and heartbreaking way possible?
That makes it more exciting. It's more accomplishable.
You know, I understand everything personally that goes on with a guy. I give him, you know, what I call the Larry Bird pass, you know? I give him what I call the Michael Jordan pass, right? Michael Jordan stepped away from the game of basketball, by many people's belief, because he was involved in something where he had to leave the game and then come back. It wasn't his decision to go off and play minor league baseball. You know, this is rumor, hearsay, conjecture. People have some stories and some quote-unquote source, whatever. Does it change the way you think about Michael Jordan and watching him play basketball? Larry Bird is not described by many as being a really good guy, right? He is not a warm, fuzzy, love to sit down and have a beer with that type of guy. When you are the best at what you do, when you are among the best at what you do and who have ever done it, you get what I call the Larry Bird bet. I don't care. I don't care personally about it. I'm not sitting down to dinner with any of these guys. Do I like and furthermore, do I appreciate being able to watch what they do and how they do it in my lifetime? Damn right I do. Of course. It'd be silly not to. Take some enjoyment from just watching it. The rest of the leaderboard, as I said, something golf fans would wish for, because you've got a little bit of everything in here. You go all the way down to... You don't have to go within five strokes. He's only six shots up. Let's go within three strokes of the lead, okay? Phil Mickelson is four under. along with Matt Kuchar. You want a villain in this tournament? How about Matt Kuchar, the guy who tried to tip his caddy down in Mexico $5,000 after winning $1.3 million? There's a villain for you. Take him. Root against him if you want to. If you've ever held a service job in your life, if you've ever delivered pizzas or worked for tips, there's a guy you want to be able to root for, or root against, I should say. John Rahm, who's a fiery presence out there, he is two strokes off the lead. And by the way, I'm leaving guys out of here. There are so many people in contention right now after 36 holes. It's unbelievable. Charles Howell III, very nice player. He could end up winning this thing. Patton Kizzire. What I don't know about Patton Kizzire could fill a warehouse. He's three strokes off the lead. Then you've got John Rahm, as I mentioned. Ian Poulter. Here's another guy I love to root against, and I don't even really necessarily mind him all that much. I think he's an interesting, colorful personality out there. I love the pictures of the Lamborghinis and Ferraris and BMWs that he posts on his Instagram. He's got a bit of that Euro DB thing going on about him. He's fun to watch. He's fun to sit. He's fun to root against at the Ryder Cup. He's fun to root against him at the Masters. I like the fact that he's only two strokes off the lead. As I said before, there are four guys one stroke off the lead: Tiger, Xander Schauffele, Justin Harding, and Dustin Johnson. People ask me, and people think I have some kind of, I don't know, knowledge of this or some kind of extra expertise about betting the Masters. People like to bet the Masters when they don't bet any other golf all year long, and they say, well, who do you like? And I said, well, you know, the DJ is always a good choice. I mean, he hits the ball a long way. He's a good player. Well, for every time I said it this year, I'm looking okay because he's only one stroke off the lead. Then here are the five players tied atop the leaderboard right now. South African Louis Oosthuizen, who, again, solid as they come, tee to green. He's won major championships before. He can do this. Adam Scott, once again, guy who knows the course, had great success at Augusta. He can do this. Brooks Koepka, your back-to-back U.S. Open winner, a guy who was told he was too muscular, muscle-bound to play the game the quote-unquote right way and to have a successful, repeatable swing. He goes and loses a bunch of weight. He trims down. People are telling him, now he's too thin. Now he's lost some of his power. Oh, shut up. You know, if you go from being a complete blob to a complete cut, muscle-bound freak, then yes, it's going to affect your golf game. And it has. You know, David Duval is probably the best example of that. A guy who really got himself into shape and then couldn't control his driver. He turned into an animal and he had no idea where that thing was going. That probably ruined David Duval's game. You could argue that it didn't do Tiger any favors when he decided he was going to start training like a Navy SEAL. Yet here he is, so I'm not going to really argue against that one anymore. Brooks Koepka, doesn't matter. That kind of talent, that kind of game, he can lose 10 pounds of muscle, put it back on somewhere else, redistribute, whatever you want to call it, and still be tied atop the leaderboard after 36 holes, which he is. Jason Day, also at 7 under par. And finally, the one guy who's probably not getting enough of the conversation, Francesco Molinari. Great photos posted last night of him caddying for his brother, Eduardo Molinari, at Augusta, I believe only 7 years ago. And we know Francesco from the guy who ended up winning the British Open, that Tiger had sole possession of the lead on the back nine going back to last summer. And disappointing for a lot of people who wanted to see Tiger put together some kind of a magical final round there, which he did. He was still fantastic, only to have it won by Francesco Molinari. He's a pretty interesting story, too. So we're going to get a little bit more into Francesco Molinari, because as much as I'd like to see Tiger win it, I think Francesco might be the smart bet going forward for these final 36 holes. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk a little bit more about what you can expect today weather-wise at Augusta. If you want to be watching, you don't want to be watching replays of rounds one and two. And, oh, the big scare. Oh, my God. The near tragedy that happened yesterday at Augusta. This is where golf gets a little insufferable, and I will admit its failings and its shortcomings as quicker than anyone else. This one was an immediate eye roll for me yesterday. I'll tell you what that was as we continue here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Stay tuned for more of the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Oops, something happened. Oh, my goodness. Again.
Are you kidding me?
The window opportunity was well and truly open. What a golf shot.
Wow. And that was stunning.
I think a patron got him right on the back of the ankle in all the excitement.
You hope that didn't tweak his knee, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's grimacing. And now you see him trying to, it's the ankle, trying to work it out.
Security. Oops.
Security guy came out trying to step behind Tiger, and then Tiger caught his foot. Hopefully he's okay. But what a shot, Nick, that was.
Everybody calm down. All right, so if you missed it yesterday, by the way, Sports Hub Golf Club back for our seventh season here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And you're welcome to join us, 617-779-0985. I should have given the phone number out before, but once again, 617-779-0985. And I have already gotten my best compliment of the season, one I got last year, Lenny Clark, listening. I hope you, Lenny, you should call in. He texted me. He says, he's told me before, he doesn't care anything about golf, but he likes the Sports Hub Golf Club. That's the best compliment you can get, right?
Nice.
Like, you don't care anything about NASCAR, but you listen to a NASCAR show. That's high praise right there.
Sure.
So here's Lenny. Couldn't care less about golf, right? Listen to the Sports Hub Golf Club because he just likes the show. That's awesome. Well, thank you for that, buddy. Tiger yesterday. And again, if you missed it, this was the 14th hole where he had already put together some really, really fine shots. Now, I will go back, as you know, a couple holes before that at number 12 when he had come off a birdie, I believe, at 11. And he goes to the par 3 12th and hits a really nice shot. And he's waiting for his playing partners to tee off when the lightning alarm goes off. And everybody has to exit the course. And I've spoken with people who have been at Augusta when this happens, and it sucks. They literally have to clear the golf course. Everybody has to go off. And this isn't the Waste Management Open in Phoenix. You know, there aren't 200,000 people out there like there are on a Saturday in Phoenix. You know, they keep the numbers of patrons, as they prefer to be called at Augusta, to a smaller number, so it's a manageable crowd and everybody can you know, have a nice experience there, and you're not going to be fighting. But still, you are still talking about tens of thousands of people who have to exit the golf course. All the players have to leave the golf course wherever they are and seek some kind of cover during the time when they believe that lightning is in the area and it poses a threat to people out on the golf course. I get it. But it also takes away from the rhythm of a player who has just found something. And at that point in his round, Tiger had found something. After a bogey at 8, he birdied the par 4 ninth, made the turn, got away with a par on 10. And number 10 has been the bugaboo for many players over the years. He pars 10. He makes a 3 at number 11, and then it's a beautiful tee shot on the, I believe 12 was playing 155 yards yesterday. Puts it to about 8 feet yesterday. And he's looking at a birdie putt, back-to-back birdies. And I don't know that there's anything more that PGA Tour players love, and just players in general, is putting a 2 down on the scorecard. I mean, that's it. You don't expect to make aces out there. If you can card a 2 by way of a birdie on a par 3 or somehow eagling a par 4, that is legit. That's as good as you can reasonably hope for in a round. So he's looking at putting a 2 down on the card on 12. And instead, they sound the lightning thing. Everyone's got it clear. And it's just a putt. It's not like, you know, your muscles get cold to the point where you can't go up. But it takes you out. It takes you out of your rhythm. You know what I liken it to? Let's say you're a stand-up comic. Let's say you're the, you know, the the greatest of the saloon comedians, right? And you're in the middle of a set, and you're just humming along, and then a smoke alarm goes off, and you gotta leave the club, Lenny, and then you go back in, and you gotta pick up mid joke. How tough would that be?
Hottie, it'd be horrible. But I tell you what, I am congratulations on year 7.
Thank you.
You make golfing wonderful. And you know, I've got to go to a place. You know I'm going. But anyway,
I know.
I listened to you on the way in, and all, the whole thing about Tiger Woods, and I agree with everything you said, and I agree with Mass, because when he was at the top of his game, the height of his game, he was kind of, he was a dick, right?
Well,
and
yeah.
And that's what's, the people watch, some watch him to come back, some watch him to fail miserably at the end. But it's like, my mother always said, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And I saw him treat some kids like crap one day, and I said, no, I don't like this guy. You know, but he's the greatest golfer I ever saw in my life. Incredible the stuff he can do.
And it's incredible that he's doing it now, and not just like a flash in the pan thing. The fact that he was, you know, in the hunt at the British and had, you know, the sole position to lead on the back nine, and here he is, and actually had a chance at the PGA Championship, and he's one stroke off the lead after 36 holes for a guy who's in his 40s. He won his first major championship 22 years ago on this very golf course. There are guys who can't put it together for 5 years, you know, over a 5 year career. He's had year 22 out there. It's unbelievable. So,
oh, my God. I've lost more golf balls in a half a round than he's lost his entire life.
Lenny, good to...
You know, honey, we got to play golf this year. We got to play now.
Okay.
We got to play.
Now we're going to do it. Now it's going to happen. It's good to hear from you, buddy. Thank you.
Oh, it's great to hear from you. Keep up the great work. I love your show. You make me like golf.
I appreciate it, Lenny, so long. There goes. So like I said, that's the highest compliment you can get.
It's pretty awesome.
So for Tiger to have to go back out there and kind of pick up where he left off, it didn't hurt him all that much. You know, I'd like to think that he would have sunk that birdie putt if he just could have stayed in rhythm, but instead he settled for par. He made a 5 on 13, and if there's one thing that golfers like, making a 2 on any hole, they despise making pars on par fives. And Tiger played the par fives yesterday in even par. Think about that. He shot a 4 under 68. And instead of gaining strokes, gaining one or two of those strokes under par on the par fives, he actually played them in even par. He bogeyed the par five 8th. He made par at number 2. He ended up making par at 13, and then he birdied 15 to get him back to even on the par fives for the day. That's maybe the most remarkable thing about his round. So birdies at 14, 15. The 16th hole where we've all seen Tiger make that incredible chip shot years ago at the Masters, where he kind of pitched up from the side of the green, and then the ball, he played the bank, and the ball rolls, and you know, really, quite frankly, stops for a moment on the edge of the cup. Then took that final roll in. On that hole yesterday, he left his tee shot a little more below the hole than he had wanted to. That shot that he hit yesterday is going to be wonderful on Sunday with that Sunday pin placement. But yesterday, it left him a long birdie putt, which he cozied up next to the hole, left himself a tap in for par in 16. Very makeable birdie putts on 17 and 18. And I was ready to walk out the door. My daughter had a late lacrosse game last night. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I know you're supposed to be there half an hour before, you know, to warm up and crap like that. But
wait it out.
Go get in the car. Go get in the car. You know what? Why don't you try backing it out? Back it out of the garage. Point it in the direction that we have to go. And I'll be out there as soon as I can. Because I just wanted to see what he did on 17 and 18. 17 was a putt that I think he would like to have back. 18, I think he made his putt, to borrow from Dr. Joseph Parent, who wrote a book called Make Every Putt. I think he made his putt on 18. It just didn't go in. You understand? I think 17, I don't think he hit that putt the way he wanted to. I think on 18, Tiger made his putt. It didn't go in. At any rate, he pars the last three holes to finish at 68 and puts him at 6 under for the tournament, 1 stroke off the lead. And yes, avoided near disaster after the security guard ran out on that that beautiful recovery shot on 14. His tee shot was wayward, so he finds a very small window on conditions that were already getting kind of wet and slick and slippery, and he hits this gorgeous recovery shot. And I'm looking at a replay of it right now. I mean, it is this tight window. He's got to hit this knockdown, and you see him like with the low release to, you know, kind of keep the ball low. And his security guard runs out just trying to do his job, just trying to keep the people from swarming around him, and slides on the wet ground. And Tiger trips over him a little bit. And Tiger not only takes, you know, like an awkward, you know, like hop or two, but then he's grimacing. Oh, he's grimacing as he tries to walk off this severe injury. It's like he barely nicked him on the side of his foot.
Security guard sliding for home.
But, you know, this is, you know what, Tiger? This is why people don't like you, right? Because you essentially win. The last major championship that you won was the U.S. Open in 2008, which you did on a broken leg. His knee was torn to shreds. He had a fracture in his leg. He hobbled around, not just for the 72. That was the playoff year. That was the playoff with Rocco Mediate.
Yeah.
He's got to go walk 18 again on Monday. The guy could barely walk, and he doesn't say boo about it until after the tournament's over. But then you act like you got hit with a sniper bullet when a security guard grazes your ankle. This is why it's, again, I don't personally defend anything. I just like watching the player. I'm going to like watching him today. When are we going to get to watch him today? All right, we'll talk about that next, because if you're a Saturday and Sunday of Masters weekend are pretty much scheduled around the TV set in terms of when you're going to be able to watch, we'll give you the latest on that. Coming up after Sargent is Hub Headlines here.
Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I keep pretty much the same routine for all the majors. It's very simple. There's no added stress during the week. It's pretty much the same people that are staying with me. And yeah, I mean, we're all very comfortable. We pretty much know each other like family at this point. I mean, we've done probably 4 years worth of majors, so 16 events, and I just enjoy. I enjoy the big stage. I enjoy major championships. I mean, that's what you're remembered by.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Hardy here with your first show of the year, season number 7. The show they said would not work. Can't do it. Can't do a golf show. Oh, yes, we can. And we're going to sit here and we're going to talk about the Masters, even though I don't know how much Masters coverage we're going to get to see today. Augusta National, and there are so many good stories about Augusta National. I heard an Augusta National story this week that I had not heard before. This was several years ago, where they talk about how things are different for the quote-unquote patrons there and the broadcasters. Broadcasters have been banned from Augusta National for saying things that the club found to be out of line. And I believe it was Gary McCord years ago who said that the greens were so fast they looked like they had been bikini waxed, right? That was it for him. No more, okay? Fabled, storied golf writers. I don't know if it was the late Dan Jenkins who was one of them, but somebody who had been around for a long time accidentally brought a cell phone outside of the, like, the one room, the one place where you can have cell phones on your person at Augusta National, and it's not in the quote-unquote media center. It's like, or in the interview room, there's one room where you can actually have a phone, and he had the phone with him outside, and I think maybe Jim Nance had to, like, rescue the guy and saying, like, it was a one-time mistake, please let him back onto the property, and he was being escorted down Magnolia Lane. I mean, it's not just for the broadcasters and the fans. There's no running, by the way. There's no running at Augusta National. You may walk briskly from hole to hole. Broadcasters, you can't call them flags. They are pins, pin placements, right? I hope maybe it's the other way around. I hope I got it right.
I'll check.
They're not fans. They're patrons. Things like this, right? But also for the members. And this is a story I heard earlier this week. An unnamed member, because the membership is not officially public at Augusta National. terms of how many members there are, you know, what the actual initiation is. This is one of the most fascinating things to me about this club, because by all accounts, well, number one, when you go there, if you can buy a ticket, if you can literally just purchase a ticket through the Masters lottery, you know, the grounds passes each year, the passes to the Masters, they're not like Super Bowl prices, you know, the $1,250, you know, upper tier seat. No, 70, 80 bucks, something like that. They're not bad. You get on the course, your cheese and pimento sandwich is like $1.50. You know, beer's $3-4, whatever. Membership there. Again, nobody knows for sure because nobody will talk about it. But the membership at Augusta National, your initiation fee, reported to be somewhere in the range of like $50,000. 50 grand. I don't think you can join Charles River for 50 grand. No, right?
Got about 100,000 on there.
I don't like, seriously, like, and the dues, like, quote unquote dues. What's your restaurant minimum? I don't know. The friggin' golf course isn't even open in the summertime. They'll stay open for another month or so here. And then have a good summer, everybody. See you in October. What? Oh yeah. You can't play golf at Augusta National in the summer. It's bad for the grass. It's not good to have people walking around here in this Georgia heat all summer long. We shut it down for the summer. You can come play starting again, October-ish. Play for a few months in the fall and then a month or two in the winter. And then, again, bye-bye, everybody. We got to get this place into shape for all the CBS cameras for the Masters. So, again, it is a completely different place. But here's the one story. One of the members says to the club chairman, as you know, Masters coming up here like another couple weeks. I noticed that the Sarazen Bridge, it looks kind of dirty. You know, there's that you know, carpet that they kind of lay across it there. So, you know, players can, you know, walk across without getting their shoes, you know, scuffing up on the whatever the material is. But whatever, there's that. It looks kind of, you know, the bridge doesn't look great, you know, maybe should be spruced up for the broadcast. And the chairman said, you're absolutely right. That's a great idea. 2 weeks later, that member goes to his mailbox, takes out the mail, opens up a bill for $12,000 for power washing of the Sarazen Bridge. Like, what? But that's how things work around there. I don't think there's like a, I don't think there are big meetings. I don't think there's a greens committee. I think when they need something and somebody suggests it, they say, that's a wonderful idea. And then you pay for it. Now, most of the time, or a good deal of the time, I don't think it matters all that much because Bill Gates is a member. When you have a member like Warren Buffett, as they do, and they decide, you know what we should really do? Is we should get rid of some of these unsightly homes around the perimeter of Augusta National, and we should buy that property and turn it into a parking lot. Well, then they just go buy those houses from the people and relocate them to anywhere they want to live in the world, and they buy up the land, or they build a tunnel, as they are reportedly doing now, building an underground tunnel for a more accessible walkway from one of these parking areas onto the ground. I mean, things that other quote-unquote golf clubs would never dream of, they just do it. And they do it without some huge initiation or some huge dude. They just, you know, take one of the members aside and say, hey, Warren, we're going to need to buy up about $8 million in real estate. All righty. I might have that on me. No, let me cut you a check when I get back to the office.
Party, there was a report from the Wall Street Journal earlier this week saying in the last 20 years, Augusta National spent around $200 million to buy more than 100 pieces of land, totaling no fewer than 270 acres.
Was I lying? No. I'm not lying,
Have you ever been down there?
Don't bring up things that are going to get me upset.
Okay, well.
The answer is no.
So.
And I will tell you this, Sarge.
Yeah.
Look, we're radio guys, right?
Yeah.
Of the four things I'm wearing right now, I probably paid for one of them. You know, shirts, T-shirts, shoes, whatever. Yeah. We're all about the freebies. We're all about the swag,
right?
I want to get there legitimately.
Okay.
So I always apply for tickets in the Masters draft. I've had practice round tickets offered to me by listeners who applied, got them, couldn't go. Do you want them? No, thank you.
Okay.
I'm going to get there legitimately. And believe me, I tried. When we were CBS and Troop and I used to talk with Nance a couple times a year, I'd be like, hey, Jim, long as I got you on the phone. And he would just laugh and say, no, there's not happening.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't get his own family members in there. But no, I have not been there yet.
Okay. I drove by it on the way to the Super Bowl this year. Drove through Augusta.
Oh, yeah.
It's more or less a glorified Route 1 in Foxborough.
Oh, yeah. Augusta, Georgia is nothing to write home about.
Do you know what 100 feet away from Augusta National is? You know what's right 100 feet away?
A Waffle House?
Olive Garden.
Oh, yeah.
Everything else. Yeah, exactly. But everything else, so gas station after gas. It's on the middle of like a Route 1. You drive by it. You can't even see anything inside. It's all gated off. It's very, very tight security there, obviously.
They got them all-you-can-eat breadsticks and salad bowls.
That's right.
At Olive Garden.
That's right.
It's delightful. I enjoy it.
I did not stop there, though. But we drove right by it, though.
Well.
Came out of nowhere.
To that end, it is a fascinating place. It really is. And I will get there.
It's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I might treat myself to a milestone birthday at some point if I don't get there by some other means. But of course, you know, that is a proverbial, bucket list trip. Now, I say all this as a long lead up to the Masters kind of does things their own way and they tell stories the way they want to tell them. They are not pulling punches when it comes to talking about the weather. And this is from the Augusta National or the Augusta.com, or I'm sorry, I thought this was from Masters.com. It's not. Never mind. This is from Augusta.com. But this is the forecast. Again, people who have a vested interest in keeping people happy in Augusta for Masters weekend, they are not pulling any punches on Augusta.com. Not the same as Masters.com. That is something else. An approaching cold front expected to bring rain and severe thunderstorms during weekend play of the Masters. National Weather Service said showers, thunderstorms are expected on Sunday, and Saturday could see rain similar to the downpours on Friday. As we get into Saturday, similar to what we had on Friday, there will be more thunderstorms possible in the afternoon, but even with those, we're not looking for any kind of severe potential with those. The more active weather is going to be what we are expecting for Sunday. Gusty winds around 30 to 40 miles an hour are forecast for Saturday. The cold front coming from the southern Gulf states, make its way into Augusta on Saturday, bring the bad weather. The golf.com forecast says that during the morning for today's third round, they're expecting a lot of weather. The rain is expected to dissipate later on, and then Sunday is going to be worse. Scattered thunderstorms, morning, afternoon, some of which could be severe. We could be looking at a Monday finish for the Masters. I think you could kind of almost plan on that one right now.
It's a great day.
I wouldn't mind it.
Awesome.
I really wouldn't. I mean, Sunday night Masters, it's, kind of what you expect. You gotta drag it out for another day, especially if it's a tight tournament. As long as, and nothing against anybody on the leaderboard right now, I'm very happy for Patton Kizzire, but if he somehow manages to go out and shoot 63 today, and everyone else falls off a cliff, and he's got a 6-stroke lead going into Sunday, I don't know if I'm going to be as interested as watching the finish on Monday if it's Patton Kizzire or Justin Harding all alone atop the leaderboard, 5 strokes clear of anyone who's got a chance at threatening him. I don't think that's going to happen. When they're as packed in as tightly as they are right now, a total of 15 players within 3 strokes of the lead, there's a lot that can happen here the rest of today and tomorrow. So we'll be back to wrap things up. I got to tell you one good story. I'm involved in 2 Masters drafts this year. I got to tell you one great story about somebody's first overall pick. That'll be coming up next.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Back to wrap things up here on the first Sports Hub Golf Club of the 2019 season, year number 7 for the Sports Hub Golf Club. Thank you, as always, for listening. It's Hardy. And As I said right before we stepped away there for a moment, I'm in two drafts this year, two Masters drafts. And essentially, they both work the same. You get a group of people anywhere between like 8, well, I've had as many as 15 in the past, but I'm in two of them this year. One of them is the one just, it's, you know, just the work folks here at the Sports Hub. And Maz, who was on the air when we were having the draft, and normally I have a hard and fast rule about this. You have to be present in the room. You have to be around the big table in order to participate. Oh, I'm sorry, I've got a sales call that day. Sorry, that sucks. Right. I'm going to be on the air. Oh, well, sucks for you. You got to be there. We're going to hold it at a time, and that's it. You know, none of these, you know, back and forth, someone else is going to pick for me. No, screw that. We're not doing it that way. I allowed, against my better judgment, to have someone help me kind of organize it and put together the times and all this stuff. And I don't want to say the person's name because I don't want to embarrass him, Pat Callen. He allowed a couple of people in who weren't actually going to be there. So I had other people pick for him. I said, you know what? We'll screw it then. It's all screwed up anyway. Fine, Maz, you can do it. Text me your picks. While he's sitting here in the studio on the air with Felger, and he's participating in the Masters draft. So we get down there. Now, normally we would do the draft order ahead of time so you could try and have an idea. I don't know what difference it makes, you know, especially in a year like this when there is no clear-cut number one guy you're going to pick first. You know, this wasn't the years when, and I've been doing this at, you know, at different places that I've lived with different groups of coworkers now for almost 20 years. You know, I've been doing this for like a long time. Generally, there is a believed to be best number one overall pick. Used to be Tiger. For a while, it was Phil. You know, Bubba was winning at the Masters. You know, there was someone obvious you would pick. There wasn't an obvious one this year, but there were a couple. That's a short list. So we do the draft order. Once everyone's sitting down, sure enough, Maz gets the number one pick. So I text Maz, like, who do you want? You're on the clock. Let's go. He takes, with his first pick, I'm looking at it right now, Justin Rose. Justin Rose missed the cut. Along with Sergio Garcia, Brent Snedeker, Charles Schwartzel. I mean, a lot of past champions missed the cut. Paul Casey screwed up a lot of people, as he was also a first-round pick for Bobby Williams. Maz, with the number one overall pick in the 2019 Sports Hub Masters Draft, selected Justin Rose, missed the cut. Now, I would say to his credit, he still has the lead after the first two rounds, but he only picked one other player. In the second round, when we get back, it was a snake draft. So a few minutes later, I text him, I'm like, all right, you're on the clock. And I'm texting him who's been selected. So it wasn't too bad. He picked Ian Poulter. Ian Poulter is 5 under par. That's a pretty good second round guy.
Yeah.
When it gets around the third and fourth, he's like, he couldn't keep up. You know, there's like, I don't know, 12, 13 people in this. So we are now at this point, after Poulter, he's like, I don't know, you pick. I'm like, oh, screw it. You know who I picked for him?
Who's that?
Louis Oosthuizen.
Oh!
His third round. I picked it for him.
Top of the leaderboard.
So then we get down toward the end, and now we're like, quick, what's 13 times 4? 52?
52, yeah.
Something like that? So he's got the 52nd pick last Monday. He can't keep track. You know, at this point, you know, Hao Tong Lee has been selected, and Shane Lowry, and you know, a bunch of people have missed the cut, and Siwoo Kim, and all the, you know, Fitzpatrick, they're all off the board. You can't even keep track. Hardy, just pick a last player. Corey Connors, the guy who won last week. He's 3 under par. So Maz, with the three guys who he had make the cut, is at a total of 15 under par. He's in the lead. And with the number one overall pick that he selected, missing the cut altogether. Unbelievable. All right, it's been a great first week. Thank you very much. Ryan Johnston is at the Marlboro Sports Center, I believe it's called. Close enough? Hockey Show live on location this morning. So we're going to hear from Ryan Johnson coming up next, as it is the playoffs in the NHL. And Bruins play tonight. So Ryan Johnson coming up next after Sarge's Hub Headlines here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
For listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.